Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to Say What. It is May 30th, 2020. So this is a fifth Saturday, and Jan Shaw agreed to come on. She's always here on the third Saturday, but she's going to help us out here. With me is Jan Shaw and Dolly Howard, and my name is Nancy Hopkins. So how are we doing, everybody? You guys there?
Yep. Yes, I'm here. Yep.
Okay. Good, good, good. Okay. So who wants to go first?
Well, everybody, Jan shout. Just... Oh, no, she wasn't talking. She was recorded. Go ahead, Jan.
Well, I was going to say, I still feel a bit weary. I mean, it takes a lot of work, as I was saying to you, Dolly, to get that whole thing put together. So, you know, I do that Saturday morning and... record it, and I get a bit wiped out after that.
I hear you. I understand that.
Anyway, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh, there's just so much to talk about. Nancy, why don't you tell us all about your flooding experiences?
The rain came in, the flood came into the house. I went next door to my neighbors until it got dry enough to come back and then clean the house. That was that's my story.
No, in a nutshell,
I mean, that's what happened. There's nothing much you can do. I mean, I've been through this for the last 34 years since living in this property. And this particular property is in the lay of the land where there was a river right behind my property, between myself and Sandy, my backyard next door neighbor. And so the rain still wants to come this way. I mean, the water does. And they built up all around us. So a house that was built in the 40s by the 70s is beginning to flood out because they've put so many caps on the, you know, there's less drainage up there. And so over the years, I've learned to deal with it. But the truth of the matter is this might have been the second, around this, it was a second worst flood. There was another one that was similar to this. But the thing of it is that when you're in this situation, I'm going to tell you this for everybody out there that might suddenly find themselves into a flood, or that you may flood. Do yourself the grandest favor you'll ever do yourself. Look at your floor and just keep your eyes low, like 6 inches of water. What would happen to my house if 6 inches of water comes into it? And then as you begin to think about that, I recommend if you're thinking about it, you might want to begin to start moving anything that's low within that six inches, and you're going to be surprised how many shoes. How many little things that got down, you're going to be surprised, okay? Because I did not do this, and I lost a tremendous amount in the first flood that I was in, which was equivalent to this one. I didn't know this place flooded, and suddenly I'm, you know, got 8 inches of water in my house. So just look around, do that, and at least plan for what you have to do and where you have to put the stuff you're going to pick up, okay? And then after you've done that, just because you want to make sure that your mind has got a plan in it. Any emergency down here in South Florida is normally predicated by warning. We see storms coming at us from a very long distance. People in tornadoes, it's on you, it's gone. Boom. You know, you have no planning time except the best place you can run to. Well, when you're in South Florida, you can make plans. You can get your head really solid on, if this happens, I got to do this. And if you do that, you will not panic. Because the worst thing to start happening is even if you don't think you're a panic person, I'm not. I think of myself as not a panic person, but I've gone through these things. I know what happens to people. Your mind just can't start. It starts to get overwhelmed by how much data you might be taking in, or how much fear is starting to take over your brain. Oh my God, what's going to happen? You know. So make a plan. So after you've got the 6 inches figured out, then I want you to sit there, and I'm talking the whole house. Oh, crap. That was not good. Something fell off the wall. The whole, oh. Some, well, yeah, it's down on the wall. I mean, what am I... Hold on. What the hell?
Oh, things happen. Things happen. I must say, I don't envy Nancy having to deal with all that at all.
Oh, me neither.
Okay. It was the ozone thing. It fell off the wall. But my fault because... Okay. Well, I'll tell you why it's my fault. Okay. But let me finish the story about the flooding. Thanks. Even in your closets are going to have a lot of things on the floor that you don't want there. So make sure you go into every little crevice in your house. And then when you've done the 6 inches, go through it and think in terms of 12 inches. Okay? Because if you do the same thing, you don't have to start moving. But if you make the same plans, then again, if the water is much greater than you think it is going to be. Now, okay, so 8 inches in my house doesn't sound like much. It's not much. But one time, we had enough water in this house that it was just below the level of the kitchen counter. Okay? And that happened in one 24-hour storm that put 21 inches on us. I mean, that was like... And how can you prepare for that? I had never seen anything like that. And I lost all my beds, all my furniture, everything. You know, so if you've got a plan for 12 inches or more, you're in the echelon of being really screwed. You know? So, but if you get, very few people will go through that type of thing with any kind of planning. That's when a, you know, 24 hours and 21 inches is going to do to you. I mean, is what are you going to do? You're going to pick up the beds and put them? So where are you going to put them? Where are you going to put the furniture? You know, you just kiss it goodbye. But realize that. You're going to get some new furniture. Might cost you some money, but don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Don't panic. Just make sure you get your pictures and the things you're really, you know, up high. And, you know, because sometimes you're not going to be able to run for it. Why is that thing that fell off the wall my fault? Well, I came in, let's see, Tuesday night I left here, and Wednesday morning, and then at night I come back. So when I came back Thursday morning, I went into the back room where we got the four cats, and they are... not going out because it's all flooded. The room is flooded. They're up. They got plenty of flat spaces to be on. They got a bed. They got all sorts of things. It's like a cat room. And there happened to be the brand new 1 gallon can of paint that I was going to paint my walls with on top of a shelf that was 6 feet up. Now, how that thing went from there... And you know how heavy a can of paint is? Especially when it's good paint. Breyers is good. It's Bears. Bears is really good. Really thick paint. So I come in, and here it is laying on the stone floor, upside down, still in its plastic, because I'd gotten it off of Home Depot, but they sent it through the mail or the... you know, FedEx or something. And it was all packaged up in this thick plastic. And I was hoping whatever had happened may be contained in the plastic. Nope, it all started pouring onto the floor. So I tip it upright, and now I'm thinking that, okay, it must be that the can got actually damaged, because you know what it takes to get those metal tops off of it. I didn't think that had happened. I thought it had broke the can. And so I come into the house and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to lose a can of paint because I don't know what to do with it. You know, and then I looked at the walls and I looked at the floor. I said, well, I can't do anything in this house except my walls. So I decided to paint the walls in the middle of the flood. Now, this is actually a good This is actually a good way to paint the floor. Paint the walls, because any paint that falls on the floor falls into the water and it just disappears because there's so much water. So you don't get any paint on your floors unless you somehow get it on the kitchen floor. I don't know how it got into the kitchen. I wasn't in the kitchen. However, so I did. I actually painted my living room walls. And I was messing with that thing. Apparently, I didn't put that thing back up there that fell off the wall. So it was my fault that it fell off because I didn't fix it, because the cats had tipped the paint into the water, and I had to do so. But otherwise, I would have been bored out of my mind. But, you know, it was like, okay, to get over here, the water's higher than the boots, and so the boots were wet. But I didn't have a dry pair of boots. Well, I didn't know where the dry pair of boots could be. So I was up and down on this ladder for, I don't know, 6-7 hours in wet socks and boots. So, I've lost weight, and I am in better shape than when I started. What can I tell you? The house is going to get a cleaning. It's got new paint on the walls. I didn't lose.
Well, it was a gift in everything.
you gotta just look at things and say, you know, there's a few things that I lost. They can be replaced. The weird thing was I had one of those big pails, plastic pails, you know, that you get from Home Depot, the orange ones. And I had my electric drill and the electric saw and a whole bunch of wiring and stuff in this pail. It was very heavy. I said, well, I didn't even think it would float. Not only did it float, it dumped out the tools into the water. Most of the times, those would dry out and be fine. My TENS unit, it was on a shelf. I just didn't see it, you know, and that was...
What unit?
A TENS unit. It's it puts electric stimulus into your muscles so that your muscles will, you know, get loose.
Oh.
It's what saves me. I mean, I use it all the time for my shoulder because of the mouse doing crap to my shoulder. Mm. And you just put this
computer mouse, yo.
Yeah, computer.
And they're used for pain relief as well, aren't they? I've heard of them.
Say again?
They're used for pain relief as well.
Oh yeah, because a lot of pain relief is occurring because of tension in the muscles. It's really going after relaxing the muscles, because if your muscles are screwed up, it screws up the nerves that then say, people, you're hurting me. You know, so, and I'll tell you, I've been going to a chiropractor for 25 years until I found Sean Guyte Rubber, and I haven't been back since. But I would get this pain in my neck that was, you know, one of those things where you can't even think. And he would do some adjustment, and it just, you know, it wasn't my neck at all. It was my shoulder. It turned out to be the mouse. If you got to make sure that if you're doing as much computer work as I do, that your arm is completely stable. I've got a kind of a jimmy-rigged here thing so that my arm does not get into an odd position that then starts to throw it out, throws my shoulder out, affects the muscles in the shoulder, and then the neck feels like it's having pain. The neck is essentially fine. It's just radiating pain from the shoulder. So I bet a lot of people that think they got problems with their necks is really in your shoulder. And the best way to find out whether I'm telling you that is true or not is get some ice. Put the ice on your shoulder, not your neck, on your shoulder. And if you start to feel the neck pain go away, it's in your shoulder. So just a little, I am not a health protect person, whatever, you know, what am I saying? Disclosure or whatever. I'm just
telling. This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I do, you know? You follow me? Well, okay. Jan, that discussion about the astrology concerning Q and Trump was amazing. I was very impressed with that guy.
I like that astrologer. I mean, he's obviously a real supporter of Trump, and he's done some really good readings. I think the last long one, I probably shared that on Cosmic Reality Group, was actually talking about, you know, all these, are they conjunctions or something like that, and how it was all about revealing, you know, the big reveal and everything else, and he was tying it into what he anticipated would be happening, you know, from the astrological readings in terms of all this declassification. Well, look what's happening now. So he's a pretty good astrologer, if you, you know, is my opinion.
Now, what's his name?
Oh, gosh, now you're asking. I'll have to look him up.
I can't remember. Were you the one that put that in the Cosmic Reality Facebook, Jan?
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I do not understand astrology stuff or things like that or numbers. That's why I thought of Lee, because of numbers. And when he got done, I understood what he had said. Don't ask me now, though. And I made sure to put on my calendar the September date where he says something.
September 13th.
Might happen. So if you all want to read it for yourselves and try to absorb it, you can go on to the Facebook group and look for Jan's post.
Well, the reason I want to know if this guy, what his name is that Lance White had an astrologer on whose name is escaping me. And he did two shows with Lance. So it was 2 hours, but it was, you know, months apart. And he was so excited about 2020. And I'm just thinking about it now. And he was, it's exactly like you say, Dolly, I'm not into astrology either, but this guy made it understandable.
Yeah.
And he said that there were going to be massive changes in 2020, all for the good. I mean, he was very excited about what was happening. I don't remember the details now. But now I'm thinking I might just pull up those tapes that I have of Lance and this guy and play them and see what, you know, what we hear.
Yeah.
The name of this astrologer is Salvador Russo.
No, I don't think that's the guy. That name sounds familiar, but not from in this way.
Right.
So, you know, things are happening, and I just found that explanation to be very, and for the he was talking exactly what I think people needed to hear that are in the Q movement. Because I think that the people that are being drawn into the Q movement are the ones that are, I hate to say this, you know, but truly connected to the mission that's in front of us. You know, get rid of the deep state, free humanity. And so we feel that Q must have a divine, let's say, hand on his shoulder or their shoulders. Because that's what we feel, you know, that we're going into this because we said we would, and you know, and that confirming of a divine presence involved in it is just to me was a very, very heartening thing to tell people that are patriots and following Q. Well, the patriots that are following Q, because I'm sure there's a lot of patriots that don't follow Q. because it is a phenomena, and you either get involved in it or you don't. Doesn't mean you're not any lesser or better, or that we're crazy or not. It's a great story. You know, some people like to watch the Hallmark Channel. Some people like to watch Discovery. I mean, it's just different people watching a different story, but we're all on the same path.
I can't wait for the movie to come out when all of this is over. It's going to be phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
Who do you think will be playing our parts? Hey, all I got to do is write the story, right?
Yes.
And you can edit it, Jan. Oh, uh-huh. Jan, you could write it yourself, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I suppose I could, yeah.
And you know, these shows are like notes. You know, you are chronicalizing a storyline, how you saw it. Mm-hmm. But you know something? There's going to be a trillion books written about this time. A trillion.
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we get to be playing parts, important parts, you know? I mean, every one of you that is listening, every one of you that feels this, you know, that something amazing is happening, you're playing a very important part because you're feeling it. And if you feel it, then you emote it. And if you emote it, then you're changing reality into what? A really great story.
That's why there's going to need to be a trillion books on it, because I don't think any one person could get all of the stories in it.
That's exactly the reason, yeah.
In their book, yeah.
It's amazing.
I think there are going to be a lot of people eating their words when it's all out in the open.
Jan, haven't you learned anything about when Snowden came out about NSA? Yeah. Oh, you crackpots. No, they're not listening to the telephone. Yeah, dumbasses. Oh, yeah, we all knew that. Which, yeah, we all knew that. Nobody remembered that they didn't know it. Nobody's going to say, oh, my God, you were right, Jan. Oh, I should have listened to you, Jan. You were the voice of prophecy, and I didn't... They're going to say, I always knew that, you know? Deep down, I always knew.
I always loved Trump.
I always loved Trump. I didn't want to tell anybody, because they would put me into
Trump
the crack
leader in the world, yeah.
Hey, when it comes out of Pelosi's mouth,
I
think she'll... jail.
I don't think she'll be alive then to talk about it.
Hey, did you
She's
see?
Looking pretty bad.
Yeah, she is. Did you see Zuckerman on Fox?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he might have been on other places, but so the president, and this was what was really dumb about it, the president was saying that mail-in ballots are fraught with fraud. Now, anybody with a sense, any kind of sense about them knows that's true. I mean, it's just, boys and girls, if you've got to go someplace and you've got to show an identification, and then you have to show a second identification that proves the first identification, and then you get a ballot, and then you can vote. Or somebody mails something to somebody, and somebody says, this is a vote. What do you think is going to be the one that's not going to be fraught with fraud? You know, I mean, it's just stupid. And what Twitter goes after and fact checks them, how stupid is Twitter? The president
is... And they get to fact check them.
But, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is the president says a lot of crazy stuff. You know, he knows more than other people, but it would sound a little crazy and a little false because you don't know the backstory. He is not a liar. And virtually everything he says is absolutely the truth. It's just how it's construed by mainstream media and because people don't know the backstory. But regardless of that, they had a lot of things they could have gone after, and they went after that one. You know, so at that point, you know, this is definitely a dark side, deep state play. And, you know, the president went after him. And so Zuckerman got out.
Who did they fact check with? All the mainstream media lamestream.
CNN, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I couldn't believe I was hearing what I was hearing.
I'm not wishing to correct you, but I will. It's Zuckerberg.
Oh, it's Zuckerberg. What? Right, Zuckerberg. Oh. I never say the man's name. Because I, you know, the man always so gave me... another no-name. He always gave me the creeps, and mostly because his eyes always seem black.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly, am I right about that?
What? Yes, what if I always said it's in the eyes?
Yeah, and this last, when he was on Fox, his eyes were not the same. They were not black, they were blue.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm listening to him, and I'm going, that's AI, that's a clone. I mean, even the way he was blinking, Dolly, did you notice that?
Yep.
I mean, most people, I think, I don't notice people blinking, and blinking at exactly the same rate. You know, it's not like he's...
And so fast together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was like, I just felt that this guy was a clone. And what's he saying, you know? Oh, yes, well, good thing that Facebook doesn't do that. we're the good guys.
Didn't they ban a load of Trump's ads? I think 3,000 ads or something. So talk about the pot calling the kettle black. What you were saying about the blinking, it must have been a bit like Burke's, you know, on that briefing.
Right.
Her eyes were just going crazy.
I've noticed lately a lot of the people are doing that. And I'm thinking,
crazy.
Ooh, they've been replaced. I don't know with what.
Well, you know, yeah, but you know, I'm a little bit ago realized that the real power of Q is he's teaching people to think outside the box.
Yep.
And to think creatively and to look at details. Okay. Now, knowing that kind of a backdrop to what happens when, you know, you're dealing with this kind of information. If you wanted the people that you're trying to touch, you, me, Jan, I mean, all of us, you know, Dolly, if you're trying to do that, then wouldn't you program into these things a something that isn't right? We've been taught to look at details. You know, so make everybody that's a clone blink, 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 blink. I'm a clone. Blink, 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 blink. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, because I don't think that they would make that mistake, you know, but I was definitely... The Zuckerberg was, you know, absolutely, I felt like that was AI.
Well, I had recently seen something somewhere saying, talking about Zuckerberg and how he felt so self-important and things like that. And toward the end, if it wasn't the end, they said, doesn't he realize he's going to be replaced? So when he was on with Dana Perino, I was thinking of that statement. And I thought, well, he must know by now that he's been replaced. People are going to be surprised. They're going to be So they can't fathom that this crap happens. So when it does, when they do realize, oh my gosh, it's true. I hope that there's somebody around who can help them with it.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to set them on their fannies is these riots. Now, right when everybody had to go, you know, and everybody was going into their homes and everybody was saying, oh, you know, fascist state, I said, they're trying to get them off the streets, so there's no problem. All right? And the episode, let's say, the event, okay? One reporter called it an incident, and I came right out of the chair. I said, an incident? The event of the murder of Mr. Floyd. I did a remote of the police officers there and the guy that was doing it, and I absolutely felt control that this was a setup, but that it was, those people were either, I wasn't sure, and, you know, this type of thing is hard to hold because it's a very difficult situation to try to remote view and to get a clear indication of who you're feeling what from, because everybody was just like, I mean, the emotions in this environment was just awful. But the question I asked was, okay, is this a controlled situation? And it was, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, where? Okay, because I figured they would show me where, and if it was with the people, it would be with the people. No, it wasn't. It was somewhere off site, like in a building above me.
So the event was taped off site? Is that what you're saying?
No, the control element.
Oh, the
control. Somebody had those people in a real electromagnetic or telepathic or mind control Manchurian candidate situation.
Yeah, this I can believe, yeah.
About that, saying that they looked just not present, you know?
Precisely.
The police officers, yeah.
Well, policeman kept looking at the camera when he had his knee on the man's neck, he just kept looking at the camera, and I thought, there's something wrong here. That's what got my attention.
See, I never saw the video. I mean, every time they put that video up, man, I turned away and turned off the sound. I was not going to see that video. So I did not get tainted by any of the video before I did the remote. I knew the setup. What was the setup? What was the staging? And I said, take me to that staging, you know? But I had no preconceived notion because I was refusing to take in that information. But when I got there, I'm telling you that those two cops over to the right, sort of behind the guy in the situation that was occurring, those three cops, there was nobody in there. There was not a human presence in those bodies. It was completely controlled in my reading. Now, I mean, for entertainment purposes only, I don't know everything. You know, I'm giving you a slice of my reality, what I saw. And that gave the excuse for the massive influx of people from all over the United States into all the cities. And they were saying that on Facebook there were postings, come, let's get our looting on in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the cops are saying that the people we're arresting are not from this state even.
Right. They're Antifa and other hired peoples.
This is deep state. This is the people that were, okay, when the deep state's not foolish to not know what we know about Trump, Q, Patriots, plan. It's out there. Okay? So, counter move. We will take the people and we will make the people a weapon against the government. We will put them into riot state. These people have been trained and probably brainwashed themselves. They've come out from underneath the underground to be able to wreak havoc on the country. You know, does anybody think that this was an eruption of bad people running around? Do you think humanity is really like that? And where all the people that are getting arrested are out of towners? This is the stuff that we don't talk about, the FF, you know?
The pretend thing that waves around on a pole.
Right, right. We don't say that word because we'll be taken down. Say again.
I love that, Dolly. It took me a minute to figure that one out.
I'm trying to think what Annie calls it. She calls it the ensign is the word for the thing, but you know, pretend ensign or something. It's not pretend. You know, she's an English artificial. Word. I mean, a British word.
Is it artificial?
No, it's even better than that. When she said it, I was rolling. It was so funny. But this gave them the excuse for erupting all over. Every place you got any black people that are just fed up with it. But those black people that are fed up with it are not the ones doing the burning. And, I mean, they're talking about in Minnesota, protesters for the murder were trying to stop these people from burning and, you know, at in jeopardy of their own lives. So, but
they were trying to protect the businesses, and they did. They showed a policeman got off on his own. I saw it happen, and I thought, oh, he's dead. But there was a group of black men that surrounded that policeman and protected him from the mob. I saw it. And so it's not the people who live there that are doing this riot crap. It's people who were hired to do it, and Antifa guys.
They're going to really piss off the black community that are fed up being used as scapegoats in all of this. You know, the ones that are leaving in droves from the Democrat Party and the Candace Owens supporters and the walkaway people. And they are going to be so, as I say, pissed off with this because more and more people are just seeing through it, aren't they? They're not taken in anymore. I mean, it's doomed before it starts because, I mean, they've made it so extreme. It's like, you know, I've said on numerous occasions in shows, when a reaction or a response to something is so disproportionate, you immediately start to question it. And I mean, this was so off the charts disproportionate that, you know, you immediately start to suspect that there's some dirty work at the crossroads, as they say.
Well, rather than have people turn against each other, like I believe is what they're wanting to do, and to turn Democratic, they're doing just the opposite. I saw whole bunches of people coming together today to clean up the mess.
They white put the word and out. Black people.
Yes. And Asian and other kind.
And lots of them. As a matter of fact, was that the Fox? Did you see the segment of Fox where the guy said, well, I came over here thinking it was a riot and that they were looting, and now I find out that they're cleaning it up?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, isn't that special?
Yeah, that's the America I know.
Yes. They're bringing the American people, no matter what color they are, they're bringing them together. They are not forcing them apart like they want to. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Mm, me too. We don't want any divisiveness, do we?
No.
It's and again, you know, let's just step back and think about this. You know, do you really think that the black people are so stupid as that they burn down their own buildings? Are they really that, you know, nuts? My whole neighborhood is black people. And where when I'm in trouble, who comes to my aid? not a strictly white American. You know, I live in a totally, there's all sorts of people here. I'm like the biggest minority here, a white single female. They don't even exist down here in South Florida, except for me. Well, Sandy, she's that too, but she was married. Her husband died. But, you know, I'll tell you a story. When, let's see, it must have been about, oh God, I don't know, maybe five years ago. We had somebody who was coming in and going to make some insane resort thing for church people, but it was nuts. This is a residential area. This is nuts. And they're going to bust people in. Oh, it's nuts. So myself and Sandy and a couple of other neighbors, well, it was me and Sandy to begin with, we said, we got to stop this thing. And we had done this before. We had stopped certain things in the neighborhood. So, okay, we're going to stop it. But the neighborhood has changed in the last 34 years I've been here. I don't know. I mean, I know my direct neighbors, but I don't know much about. We've had no occasion to really work as a neighborhood in a lot of, long time. So myself and another girl, we get a petition together. There were us and there were some other people doing the same thing. But I'd walk up to a house and knock on the door, and there's two females, so that's not intimidating, or should not be intimidating. But every single person that opened that door was of color, and all of them were afraid of me. Okay? And it's like, I'm your neighbor. We've got a situation. I just start talking. But once they realized that I was a neighbor of theirs, and I was asking for their help, I made so many friends in that, doing that. You know, it's like, if you just talk to your neighbors, you're going to find out that they're just like you, and that they're willing to help, no matter what their color is, no matter what their history is. I mean, sure, once in a while you get a crackpot. I had this one woman, oh my God, she was so scared. She was so scared. And it took a little, I was concerned about how scared she was, actually. I thought, I don't want to leave her feeling like, you know. So I kept talking to her, and pretty soon the door opened a crack, and I said, see, we're just trying to, this is, you know, and I live right over there, and, you know, I just talked to your neighbor up, you know, blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon she came out, and then she took us to the next neighbor and introduced us. And so when we went before the zoning commission to dispute this, my dad had died just before this, so I wasn't even there, but Sandy was. And the guy who was the head of the commission said to Sandy when she was walking out, he said, what is your organization? I know, I guess it was when she was up there talking. What is your organization? And she said, we don't have an organization. He said, what do you mean you don't have an organization? And she said, no, we're just neighbors that came together over this issue. And so when she was leaving, he stopped her and he said, I got to tell you, I have never, ever seen such an organized group of people that were in an organization. You know, it was no organization. It was people taking a situation, fixing the situation. Love you, baby. Never see him again. But you know that the next time it happens, if it does, you know you can do it again. You can bring all these people together again. And that, to me, is America. That's who we really are. Absolutely. And all this other garbage that's happening now, the thing that I find most promising. I'm sure Dolly has remembers Jan. I'm not so much you, maybe, because it probably hasn't been that many times. But it is not a really very often done thing that a governor calls in the National Guard. Now, for people that don't understand, you got the United States military, Okay, and let's just talk about the Army instead of Navy or Air Force, but the Army. In the Army, you've got National Guards, and these are people, many of them prior military, prior, you know, direct military into the Army. But these, this is a branch of the Army for each state, and the person who has got, is like the chief officer on the, is the governor. So the governor can bring them in and ask them to help. But it was I don't remember it being done very, very often. And right now, especially with the pandemic and especially with the interaction of the National Guard and the Army, the military itself, in doing so many good things regarding COVID, that virtually every governor out there, every mayor is bringing in National Guard. They're not afraid of them anymore. They see them as being an option to stop this stuff. And that's another turn of perception, I think, from what was the old norm, you know. And they also, in Minnesota at least, have the president has put the active army. So what you've got is you got National Guard, and then you got your regular army, it's called. And in the regular army, you have the army that you think of, that you know of, and that's, you know, under the direction of the president. But the president can designate units to back up National Guard, and that's what he's done. Under the request of the governor. So there's no way that this thing isn't going to be shut down very, very quickly, because they don't have enough of those people out there on the streets. You know, every time the deep state does something to cause a problem, it just brings people closer and closer together, in my opinion.
Backfires on them.
It does. Blows up in their faces.
Boomerang.
Yep. Well,
Trump knows how to bait them. That's what I love. He's a good chess player.
They say he's a master chess player.
Oh, I can believe that. No problem.
Yes, he is. And I think Barron is supposed to be.
I'll bet he is, yeah.
Oh.
He's probably been playing with his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's as they all, you know, as everyone says, it's like 5D chess, and that's why it's so fascinating, because, you know, once your eyes are open to this, you realize that you don't take anything at face value. There's always some hidden meaning to it. And that's why I think so many people have jumped on the QAnon bandwagon, because it's like a game, you know. Oh, who's going to figure this out? And, you know, you see all the posts on Twitter where an anon will post something and he'll say, now, come on, the rest of you, see what you can add to this. And it's a real joint effort. And that's why, you know, when that guy popped up, I've forgotten his name now, Steinbart, was it, who claimed to be Q? His way of his demeanor, his, you know, he actually claimed to have put this post up, which was nothing like what a Q post would be like. And it was so ego driven. And of course, then it all came out that, you know, he threatened people and all sorts of things, and he got arrested. But I mean, anybody that's been immersed in the Q culture can spot a fake a mile off. And, you know, there's a real altruism in the Q movement. I mean, yeah, there are some people who probably come in there that perhaps aren't as dedicated. And the example was in the Q drop that I shared today, where somebody had come along and said, oh, we've got to wait till after the election. What about Durham? And I think the QAnon, a QAnon responded that, yeah, we've got people now in the movement that aren't at the critical thinking level and don't read between the lines and, you know, see the hidden messages and the sarcasm. You know, when you've been following it long enough, you just you gain this ability to interpret things. You know, it's like a learned skill, is what you were saying about the critical thinking. It's like you get familiar with the style, so you're immediately on the ball with what message is being given. And some of them, you know, I can't say I claim to understand all of them, because some of them are pretty cryptic, but you know, you get the gematria, the numerology, you get the code words, you know, that are used. And anybody that decries Q, to me, is not seeing it correctly. Simple as that.
I agree.
Me too.
And I mean, there are so many attacks on it, on the Q movement. I mean, as Q says, and there was one post I didn't have time to share, you know, it was about why would they attack a LARP? You know, why would they go after Q all the time if it was just, you know, people in fantasy land? And even Hillary Clinton recently attacked Q. So, you know, when something's attacked, that it's a threat.
Well, when they're going after Q really hard, I mean, they're really, really upset about something, and you can tell they're just upset. They say it in such a way, they go after them in such a way, you know, it's a deep state trying to downplay Q.
Yeah, and control the narrative. I thought it was great when, was it Tucker Carlson that started wearing the Punisher badge?
That's Hannity.
That's Hannity, yeah.
All right, yeah. I knew it was one of them. I thought that was great.
I like what Hannity does, the show, and what they've brought out and all that. I don't like his humongous ego and hearing the same crap over and over that he does. But I do like what Hannity is doing. Except I got really ticked off.
Ooh.
The night that they kept showing, they played it like a running thing over and over and over. The murder, the horrendous murder scene of George Floyd. And there are people who are traumatized beyond belief to start with. And then they start these riots. But before the riots, they keep showing this horrendous, slow torture murder scene over and over. The whole show. The whole frickin' show. And Hannity's all in excited mode and all this. He was building trauma in the world, in my opinion.
It reminds me of what happened at 9/11, where they repeatedly showed the collapse of the towers. I mean, that was definitely intended to induce fear and trauma in people.
Yeah. I wrote them a letter. I was so pissed. So angry that I wrote a letter.
Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Oh, you got. Oh, no, you can read it, okay, Nancy.
All right, I'll read it. Maybe. Okay, now this comes into. I gotta switch screens on Skype. Dolly. Okay. We have to go back a while because we have her reporting about the about the space thing happening. So here we go. Okay. 5/28/20. Showing George Floyd being slowly tortured to death over and over and over and over and over for a full hour was disgusting, inhumane, and completely uncaring for his family, friends, and those of us who truly care for others. I record shows so I can fast-forward the ads. I kept fast-forwarding through last night's show, but the slow torture killing never stopped. Fox is worse than fake news now in showing you all don't truly care about people and traumatizing them. Playing the recording once during the show would have been enough. I'm disappointed and disgusted. I thought Fox was above sensationalism so far as to show someone being tortured to death for a full hour. Disgusting.
That's it.
That's it.
Well said, Donnie.
Thank you. That's how angry I was at how they were trying to manipulate people just like the deep state.
Well, of course, Fox is now controlled by deep state, aren't they? Weren't they taken over not that long ago by, was it a division of Disney or something? Which, of course, we know is deep state. And, you know, to an extent, I mean, Tucker and Sean and Laura Ingraham and people like her seem to be, you know, sticking with good, you know, decent news, but how much pressure or how much influence do they have over the content of some of the shows? You know, you have to ask the question. And I actually have stopped watching Fox News much lately because even their shows are kind of repeating the mainstream narrative, not in the same way as CNN and all the rest of it, but you know, once you've gone down the rabbit hole and you're watching some of the alternative news, you get much more insightful information than they're prepared to put out on TV, in my opinion. So I very rarely watch it now. I used to watch it every night, but now, in the last few weeks, I've just stopped.
I've been watching OAN a lot. Because they get this Neil Cavuto on there, who's a real...
Be nice.
I'm trying. Deep stater. How's that?
Good girl.
And I can't handle... I can't even see his face anymore. I just think I don't need this kind of pressure, this kind of... thoughts and feelings. I don't want those. So I don't watch him at all. I watched Discovery Channel today for the launch because Cavuto was emceeing it or whatever they call it on Fox today. But I like to have news other than COVID-19 for months and months and months, and they don't put anything else in there but COVID-19. I watch OAN because they have news from around the world and from around the USA, and I like to hear what's going on in the world, not this crap over and
over. Well, of course, they've started the riots and the coverage of that because the COVID-19 thing isn't working for them. So they have to come up with something.
That's right. They got to come up with something.
There was a meme on Facebook saying, you know, if everybody wore these masks and it was Make America Great Again, you know, the MAGA... I think the mainstream media would be quick to demand that we don't wear masks anymore.
I bet they would.
Okay, we've got Infinity Awareness wanting to know what we're talking about. We'll talk about that after we take a break here. It's 5 minutes, and I want you to just, you know, take a run to the bathroom or whatever. But this is from Barbara Menez and Craig Stewart,
a couple. Their music.
Well, this is I've got a number of theirs, and this one is called Self Liberation, and their music is just something that is based on a really, really very powerfully centered and stable couple who can do some amazing energy work, especially through the music that they put out. So 5 minutes is called Self-Liberation.
Radiant Vajra Heart.
And welcome back to the Say What Show. It's May 30th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard. Nancy's got some chocolate that I didn't finish chewing. It ended faster than I thought. Dolly Howard, bail me out with Jan Shaw.
Okay.
Well, I just had to turn my air conditioning off. It's really hot in Colorado today. When I called you, Nancy, earlier to tell you I was uploading the show, it was 86 in the car, according to the temperature gauge. And then I went to the store, as I said, and then it was 90, which is phenomenally hot for Colorado, especially this time of year. So it's a little bit warm in here today.
Why do you have to turn it off?
Well, because it makes a lot of noise.
It wasn't bothering me.
Well, it hasn't been on.
Oh,
I had it off, the first half, apart from the first couple of minutes, and I realized it was still on. Oh. And then while the music was playing, I thought, oh, I'll just give myself a cool blast before the second half of the show. So,
wow.
Well, I replaced my air conditioner. It was like a window unit. And it's the guts of it is outside the house. And then there's just a little hole in the wall, and then you've got this inside thing. That thing is so silent that when you got it on low fan, you have to go and look at see if it's running, you know, if this lamp fan blades are going around, because you can't hear it. So, for the first time in how many years have I been doing this, I can actually sit here with the air conditioning on. People look at this. It's called a split unit. If you got to think about air conditioning, think about a split unit. They've been out for a while, but they're not real popular yet. But they're much more efficient. And the noise, there is no noise. Even when the fan in here is up high, you don't hear it. As a matter of fact, it's on full blast right now.
Wow. Cool. Literally.
Absolutely. And it has a heating element in it. We don't need that very often down in Florida, but, you know, I said I'd rather have it.
Yes. Because when you do need it, you need it. Now I hear something, Nancy.
Yeah,
it's probably me. There's a truck started up outside. It's a very noisy one. So
okay. Okay. Live radio.
So I'm very interested to see. Oh, they got a car burning already. Where is this? Los Angeles.
Oh, stop looking. Let's not talk about that anymore.
Okay.
Let's talk about Dragon.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. I enjoyed watching it. I got all excited, even though I'm one of those people that sit and say, why in the world are they using those old-fashioned rocket ships? Why don't they just do what our Space Force has been doing for years now? And that is safe. Whereas sitting on top of a bomb to be blown off into outer space is so archaic. But I got so excited over it. I'm conflicted.
Now, did you go outside to look?
No, I couldn't. I'm sticking pretty close.
Did Annette?
No, she didn't care. She wanted it to rain so she doesn't have to go out and water the lawn, because the lawn got seeded and landscaped by a professional landscaper. And she has to go out and in the morning and at night, before work and after work, and water all the grass for a half hour in each spot. And she was wanting it to rain so that she doesn't have to go out there. You know it's all about Annette.
Anyway, for those people that have not seen it, just you can Google SpaceX Dragon, and it'll drop down a whole bunch of things like launch and it's
pretty spectacular.
Well, yes. First off, there's a lot of fire.
Yeah,
a lot of fire going on. But the anybody who's been around as long as we have, I have, Dolly. Yeah. We remember the same thing happening back when they started basically Mercury, but then Gemini. And then the Apollo, you know, where you had this candle, you know, that lights up from the bottom and it can explode. And, oh, my God, you know, are these people insane?
Yeah.
But then after a bit, they do it all the time and you don't even look at it. You don't, you know, care. So my initial response when they started talking about, you know, I think I heard about it, you know, whether they were going to do it or maybe. You know, I was very unimpressed. But I saw our show. I didn't even know this thing was going to happen. But a couple of nights before it did, so it was probably Monday night, I saw a show that was like a presentation of the astronauts, the SpaceX, the Dragon capsule that is where the space where the and the astronauts are actually NASA astronauts, even though SpaceX built it, and that's a private corporation that built the rocket. It was fascinating, and one of the things that best put it into perspective for me was the astronauts themselves, because they were saying, well, the one guy, oh, gee, I'm probably not going to remember their names. They're so bad with the names. Doug, okay. His first name is Doug. H is his last name, something H. But Doug was the last pilot for the shuttle. The last shuttle that flew, he was the pilot 9 years ago. And he's now one of the astronauts that went up with Bob.
Doug and Bob, yeah.
Doug and Bob. And Doug and Bob are really, really good friends, and both of their wives are astronauts. I thought that was fascinating.
I did, too.
You know? I mean, it's, again, it's a story. You know, the story is so good. So you get locked into to knowing these two men, but not that they were the stars of the show. They were the importance of the show, but the stars were the stuff itself, the hardware. I mean, they named the propulsion system Falcon 9, because it's the ninth design of the Falcon, I think. But they go back and they talk about Elon Musk, who made his money with PayPal and then went on to make Tesla, is now SpaceX. He's the head engineer and CEO. I think he's CEO. And he put his own money into it initially. And he put enough money to be able to build four of these rockets. So they blow up three of them and he's only got one left. And then he said himself that he thought he had a 10% chance of actually, you know, surviving in the space industry. But that fourth one flew. And the difference between what we're seeing now and what Dolly and I grew up with was, okay, first off, they had the Mercury thing, and they took, what was his name? On, Dolly. Who was
the astronaut?
Yeah, the first astronaut.
Oh, Shepard.
Shepard, thank you. You'd think I'd remember that. So Shepard goes off and he goes like for 15 minutes and he's back coming down to Earth. And then they did one that was another similar one to that. And then they did one with the third one was Glenn, John Glenn, doing he was supposed to orbit the Earth a number of times, but they brought him back down at the third orbit because there was a malfunction or something was not right. But every step of the way, it was like months between flights, because that was NASA's way of doing things, is to make sure that if they need this, then they build this, and then they build the thing on top of it. And then, well, now you've got private industry that builds everything at once. So you got different people building every piece of the thing, and then they have to put it together. And instead of all the ground testing and the, you know, yes, they do a tremendous amount of ground testing, but when they put it together, they fire it so they can see what happens. You know, NASA would wait until they thought they had 100% thing and then screw up. These guys, they say, we're going to screw up somehow. Let's find out how. So that whole kind of like new way of doing things is causing things to happen much faster. And I think that the indication that I got from that first program, the Dragon, you'll hear it's called Crew Dragon. And that's because there is a supply dragon that they've been working with. They've been supplying the International Space Station, to my understanding, with these vehicles. So they've been kind of tested. The new thing was a crew dragon. And they took one that didn't have anybody on it, and it flew itself to the International Station, docked itself. All by computer, you know, it stayed up there for 5 days while the people up there got used to looking at it and finding out what it could do, because that's what they're going to be using to get down from there. And then they flew it back down, and I think that the Crew Dragon they used on this one was the same one, because they don't throw these things away. They refurbish them and go again. And the first stage, okay, you got a three-stage thing. You got the big rocket that, you know, I mean, this sucker, that I got nervous. I think there was more flame coming out of that thing than I've ever seen. Did
and
you?
They made it so we didn't see all the flame even.
I know, but did you think that was an excessive amount of flame?
Yep.
it kind of scared me.
I wanted to run out. When it got up and it was flaming so much, I wanted to run out to see it, but it didn't work out that way.
So you have this first stage, and this is another one of those wow things. I remember when I first saw this happen. The first stage goes up; it comes out with this tremendous amount of flame. Tremendous amount of speed. It's like they go from 0 to 1,700 miles an hour in a matter of minutes. And
can you imagine the jerk on your head?
Well, they that was one of the things they brought out in this particular show, was that they've done a lot of analysis on how this G-force is actually affect the body, because it's G-forces. It feels like pressure on your body when you're accelerating that much. And they discovered that to be the safest way for this to happen is that the body is taking the pressure through the chest. So they have the chairs they're in and everything else absolutely positioned in a way that they're taking all of the pressure, or most of the pressure of the acceleration in their chest. So it's not like your head snaps back. I think maybe your head does. I don't know, but that's what they're concerned about, you know, all of that. Some of the details that they brought out in that program were the things you wouldn't have even thought about, but they had. It's like that was an interesting thing too, that they had the camera over the astronauts, between, or the astronauts are sitting in their chairs, and there's a camera behind them looking at the dials. But there was no dials. It was a whole bunch of screens. Uh-huh. You know, that was really neat. But one of the people picked up that they actually built into this console a place where the astronauts can lay their hand, rest their hand.
I saw that, yes. Where their fingers can go, yeah.
Because they're in pressurized suits, and, you know, your hands are under pressure. You know, so to be able to just have your hand on something that rests right there so that you can immediately go press the screen. Yeah, I mean, they thought, probably not of everything, but they thought of things that, you know, were really wowing some of the astronauts that were commenting on some of this. It was fun to watch. It was inspiring. And the technical advancements, really, the best way to think about it is that when that first stage stops putting it up, the first stage goes off, it stops firing, and then it's jettisoned. And then the second stage comes on. And that when that runs out or gets them to the orbit they want, then that one is jettisoned too. That one's lost. But the first one starts falling to Earth and then gets itself in a position where its tail is pointing towards Earth, and then slowly does these little burns to slow itself down and land on a little ship sitting in the ocean. Now,
in the Atlantic.
In the Atlantic. Now, what was really disappointing is that they had a camera that was, you were looking down like you were just above the tail on the rocket, or the first stage. And that's called the Falcon. That's called the Falcon. So the Falcon is like, you're looking down past its tail towards Earth. And it's going into the guy says, now this is going to be a 13-second burn, and this is the final descent, slowing it down enough, you know, so it's not going to crash. And then we lost the signal. And the next thing you see, it's parked on the boat. Not immediately, but, you know, a few minutes later, you see it parked on the boat. So we didn't get to see it do that.
You think that wasn't planned?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, you would think they would have gotten it. Maybe they had, I don't know, because it did cross my mind, you know, did that really happen, you know? But I have to think it did.
Oh, I think it really happened, but I don't think they were wanting to share all the secrets of that happening.
They've shown that before with many, many shots. When they first got it down, the one that was astounding was they shot two rockets up, and they came, the first stages came down, and they landed right beside each other at almost the same second.
Oh, yeah. We saw that one live, yeah.
I mean,
that's when Cherry and Shannon lived on base.
That one was astounding.
It was.
So, but
now, wasn't that the one where they sent up the car with the dummy in it?
Yes, Captain Bob.
Yes.
That's when I got interested in SpaceX. I said, anybody that would do this is my kind of people, you know? For those that don't know, you can, you know, Tesla car in space. What he did was they had to get certified by NASA for different things. So one of those things, this is the way I understood it, one of those things was that they had to take a very heavy payroll into space. And so instead of going up there and just putting a, you know, I don't know, a ton of butter or a ton of sugar or something. They sent up a Tesla car. And in the driver's seat is an astronaut dummy thing. And
they had a convertible.
It was a convertible. And they had cameras all over this car. And so for the time that they could still get the signal. I mean, they had batteries, you know, and when the batteries ran out, that's when we lost Captain Bob. I think it's Captain Bob. Isn't that the one?
I think so, yeah. I think
the song there, calling Captain Bob.
This I don't know. I never got into that part.
There's a song. Jan, do you remember the song? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is Jan
no.
with it? Oh, okay. But anyway.
Ground control.
Yes. Ground control calling Captain Bob.
Major Tom.
That's it. I knew it wasn't right. Major Tom. Yes. So they were playing that song, and so the song is playing up there with you got the dummy Major Tom, and they put up a YouTube direct feed, and it was live for, I don't know, a couple weeks, I think so. Every once in a while I'd go, David Bowie. Yeah, Major Tom, David Bowie. And something's weird about that guy. I wonder about that guy. Ground control to Major Tom.
What guy are you wondering about?
David Bowie. Yeah.
Oh.
Infinite Awareness was saying that.
I won't correct you again.
Say again? What?
It's pronounced Bowie, David Bowie.
Oh, is it? Bowie?
I never knew that. I always called it Bowie.
David Bowie.
Bowie. No, always correct me. You know, I ain't perfect, for crying out loud. The only way I can get perfect if you correct me. Yes, he is dead. Yes, I know that infant. And it was a weird... I didn't know anything about him, but when he passed, there was a lot of seeming that he knew a lot about energy and magic than I understood he knew. But anyway, somebody ought to look into that. I don't have time.
Not me. I don't care.
I kind of figured that one. But anyway, so they shot up a Tesla car, and it's out in space someplace.
So is Tesla a good guy or a bad guy?
Tesla or Musk?
Well, Musk. I mean, Elon Musk. Because there's
Musk.
Been mixed opinions about it.
I don't know. I've got mixed.
He actually put up that tweet, I've taken the red pill or something like that, and Lara Trump replied, so have I, or something like that, or I have already. And that was quite intriguing for him to put something like that up, and I think he got quite a bit of negative pushback by somebody, I can't remember who, but I thought that was rather interesting.
So he said that he had taken the red pill?
I think so.
The red pill is the good pill?
Well, yeah. The red pill is when you've woken up to what's going on, you know. So I thought that was interesting, to say the least.
Well, I've been suspect of the guy. Because he made the statement about we should make friends with computers because maybe they'll be kind to us.
Yeah, and he's been promoting this. What is it? It's a bit like the Borg, you know, this hybrid human AI.
Transhumanism. Transhumanism.
Which I was turned off by immediately. You know, so I don't know. I haven't quite worked out this guy.
Well, you know that crazy person? I think it might have been that crazy person that was pretending he was Q. That you talked about.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
I saw him once. Somebody posted him. I went over there and I was like, I don't know what this guy's up. Just, you know, I didn't even watch him for very long, except that he said a couple of more than a couple of things that I thought could possibly be true. And then one of those things that I thought, wow, was that Musk and all of these satellites that he's supposedly putting up for 5G is not 5G at all. Which I actually have been wondering about myself. So I don't know. And then he's on SpaceX and he's seeming, I mean, when you hear him on the hour show that I saw, he doesn't give me the willies. He gives me the impression of a real entrepreneur that takes a lot of chances and is a manifester because he gets these things done. I mean, they put SpaceX together in 05, I think they said. So, you know, within 15 years, you've put men into space.
I don't know what to think about him either. I waver back and forth.
Infinite Awareness says, yes, Musk is a proponent of transhumanism. He gave a big talk about it on YouTube, laughing and joking about putting a chip in your head. I am very suspicious about this new sort of relationship between Musk and Trump. Interesting. I don't know. I absolutely don't know. But as far as SpaceX goes, good job.
Yeah.
Of course, Trump, you know, does make his enemies closer. So yeah. I don't, you know, I always suspend judgment when he puts somebody in that you think, really?
Oh, I get suspicious. I don't suspend. I get suspicious. Oh, that guy must be a bad guy. Trump just hired him.
Well, yeah, I was practicing neutrality until I can, you know, work out what the hell's going on. Because it's usually revealed, you know, it's not revealed immediately, but it's dripped out, so we'll see.
Has anybody seen anything from Fauci?
No.
I have, but he's always in a environment where he's so out of place. And they always show him, he's always computer, talking from the computer. He's not in person anymore that I have seen.
He's still under quarantine?
I am assuming, but I don't know for sure, but I know he's at least somebody like him, I don't know if it's him, is still around and touting all these bad things to telling us to do.
I thought he was at a briefing after he'd been in quarantine.
So oh, was he was.
Where they were all in masks behind Trump, who wasn't wearing a mask, very sensible.
So, I think Trump did that on purpose, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He made the bad peoples wear the masks and the good peoples didn't. How obvious could he get?
Absolutely. So can I change the subject?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think about this situation with the royal family? Because there've been more, there was a video done by somebody, on Twitter,
King,
I think.
King John.
Well, there is that, but one thing was they'd done this video in front of Buckingham Palace, and we're talking about the fact that one of the royal emblems or crests had been taken down because supposedly a delivery truck had crashed into it and knocked the unicorn off. And this guy was filming and said all the windows look, you know, as though they're all closed up, and there aren't the usual, you know, soldiers there guarding the palace. There's just it's kind of conventional military. And of course, the Queen is in Windsor. They've closed down Balmoral. They've closed down Buckingham Palace, and so on.
I heard the Queen has been dethroned.
Well, yes, and that's another thing, that at the opening of Parliament, she wasn't in her regalia. And it's saying that once the Queen is dethroned, she can't wear the royal regalia. And, you know, there was all that about, well, when Trump went there, was it last June or sometime last year, that he was walking in front of the Queen and Prince Philip, I think. And, you know, the mainstream media were saying how rude of him and everything else, but it was interpreted as the fact that he was now in charge. And, of course, we know that the Crown has been basically stealing all this money, they get all this money from the Fed and the IRS and everything else. And so it's an interesting situation, shall we say. And then, as you say, that Dolly, there have been these videos on YouTube about this guy who, I wrote his name down, I was thinking I could share it in the show, but I didn't have enough time. Where are we? I think that's Joseph Gregory Hallett, who apparently is the real sovereign, and he would be known as King John III and supposedly a descendant of Anne Boleyn. And I haven't had a chance to investigate this. I'm a little skeptical at the moment, but you know, until I actually look into it, I don't know. But it's very strange circumstances surrounding the royal family at the moment. And of course, you know, you've got the Illuminati has its centres in DC, Vatican, City of London. Of course, the Crown is involved in all the pedophilia and all the rest of it. And so I was just curious to know what your take was on it.
Well, I saw a video or a documentary on TV a couple of years ago, and he was explaining the lineage and proving that he was
the king.
Right, the right king, and Elizabeth shouldn't be queen. And it tickled me because he was living in Australia, I believe. And he says, I really don't want to leave Australia.
Well, it's part of the Commonwealth, I suppose.
He was quite happy running his ranch.
Now, why did he think that he was king over her?
The lineage, the history of births and who begats whose.
There's a video that I was watching, I haven't got to the end of it yet, by somebody called Freedom Force Battalion on YouTube. And she was putting together within her video other videos and showing a load of documents that were on a site called kingof.uk, and it was showing these documents with, you know, supposedly royal seals and showing the lineage. And it was even talking about how Trump is a descendant of the Scottish royal line.
And it was
quite difficult to see some of this because it was like a video within a video. And if my internet isn't too good, the focus isn't very good. But that where I left it was, it was talking about, it had this document showing all the lineage, and that there was Anne Boleyn and Sir Walter Raleigh, and that this guy was a descendant of that line. It talked about Song Royale. Of course, that's what was in Da Vinci Code. And interestingly, Da Vinci Code interpreted it differently, as Sang being French for blood and Real mean true blood. It was the woman that did this video translated it differently, but
do you remember how she said it?
It was interpreted as Holy Grail.
Okay, that sounds... did they make any... Well, because that particular phrase, those two words together, was holy blood. And it's talking about the line of Jesus.
Mm.
And there's a whole lot of information regarding Scotland and the Knight Templars, and the Templars understanding the real genetic blood relationship of the line of Jesus that continued, because Jesus and Mary, we know as Mary Magdalene, had children. Mm. And those children married the Franks that became the Merovingians. The Merovingians became the Charlemagnes, became the kings and queens of the European royal court. Correct, Jan? As you know it?
I think so. Yeah, I haven't gone deeply into it. You're whetting my appetite now. I mean, when I watched Da Vinci Code, and you know, at the end it's the Rosicrucians, and I've heard not good things about the Rosicrucians, and so I was somewhat suspicious of the whole, you know, presentation of this story, because, you know, Tom Hanks supposedly is a pedophile and is presumed dead in some cases because he's not been seen. And
his wife.
Well, she's been on Twitter, I think, in a video recently. If you can hear a noise, it's because I've got a downpour of rain here and a thunderstorm going on. So,
but better you than us.
And audio sounds are from Jan Shaw.
You don't need any more rain, Nancy, do you?
No. The night after it stopped, I thought I kept hearing it. I kept waking up thinking I was hearing it because I was in a different house and the fan noises and stuff were different. But so I'm wondering. I'm seriously wondering because okay. When you started telling the story, and I had seen the post, but I hadn't, I said, oh, that looks good, Darth, you'd look at that, but I saw it, you know, 5 minutes before we started this. And yet, what you're saying to me brings back, I don't think in terms of the Da Vinci Code, I think in terms of the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Now, that is a book written by some Brits concerning the lineage of Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene, the whole, you know, what I just basically said. Because what it comes down to is that the French nobility that went to the Jerusalem in the area of the most magical, mystical stuff that had happened on the earth, the guy that led it, I'm trying to think of what his name was, Giuliani or something, the guy that was the head of that particular group of knights, they weren't Templars at the time, knights, when they took Jerusalem, maybe by that time they were the Knight Templars, but yeah, it was, by the time they got to Jerusalem and actually took Jerusalem, the Knight Templars were organized, but the guy that was the head of it all was acknowledged as the king of Jerusalem. And because he had a direct descending bloodline to King David through Jesus. And he turned it down. Instead of him, you know, taking and becoming king of Jerusalem, he used the Knight Templars, built up. The reason that the Knight Templars got so powerful was because of the bloodline, not because they found anything. It was the bloodline. I mean, you talk about taking down the papacy and Christianity altogether if you prove that Jesus faked the crucifixion, faked the resurrection, faked the ascension, and actually ran to France where he and Mary Magdalene, you know, lived out their lives. And that's the basic story behind it, except the fact that it was assumed by Holy Blood, Holy Grail, that Jesus somehow or another was with Mary Magdalene. I've never been convinced of that. I know she went there. I know she had children. I can trace everything to through the Merovingians, the Charlemagnes, and into the, you know, British royalty. But if Holy Blood is true, and there is a Jesus lineage that ends up in Scotland, maybe this dude is going to claim a lineage to Jesus Christ. Have you seen any indication of that? Because when you said, would you say the royal blood, what's that? You say it better than I would.
Jan?
Jan, are you
Song Real. Song Real. I was saying I'll be back in a minute. My car windows are open, but
oh,
it's raining so flipping hard. The car can get wet and I won't. Yeah, it's Song Real.
Okay.
And actually, I think there was some mention of this guy related to Christ, and also that Trump's father's middle name was Christ.
This is getting better and better.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is getting better and better.
I'm digging down the rabbit hole here.
Well, what about the queen is, at least some of one of her castles is kind of boarded up. Does anybody know where the queen is? I mean,
she's in Winchester, apparently.
She's back in Winchester?
No, she's holed up in Windsor Castle.
Windsor.
But Balmoral, which is where she often goes for the summer, that's in Scotland. And there's another one in Norfolk. I can't remember the name of it. And Buckingham Palace is kind of shut down. So I think the other royal residences, other than Windsor Castle, are just closed down. And of course, you know, she was originally, they changed the name to Windsor from, is it Habs-Coburg or something like that, that was a German name. And, of course, you've got several instances, and I'm having to remember my school days English history, but, you know, where foreign sovereigns took over the English throne. Because we had William of Orange, we had, you know, the predecessors to the Windsor, and I mean Prince Philip supposedly got links to even the German Nazis. I mean, I'm speaking off the top of my head here. I don't have the actual definitive information in front of me, but. You know, I mean, even William the Conqueror, he came over from France. So there's been a lot of changes in the sovereignty of the UK and Britain over the centuries.
Very, very interesting. And then we got that guy over here that says that he's the king of the United States. There's a
but
huh?
We never had a king.
True, but he can become the king because of some ridiculous law that they made back when the revolution happened. Don't you remember? It was the guy that did the whiteboard that you love so much, the sergeant, that they took down his YouTubes.
I don't know.
My question is, why do we need kings?
Yeah, really. You know,
because it kind of belies all this idea of moving into this new, not the new world order, but a new earth, where you don't have these supposed, you know, heads of you know, everything to put down declarations on the people. Aren't we moving into a time where we don't have that kind of authoritarianism?
Well, my feeling is that it, okay, let's say this Aussie guy is right, that he can make a claim to the throne, okay, and he wants to live in Australia. Maybe he doesn't want to be king. Maybe he's going to go through all of this and say, yes, I'm king, so that he can say, okay, we're going to disband the kingship. We're going to be this new people, blah, blah, blah. We don't know who these people are that they could be.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I mean, in this video that I referenced, she did say that he seems to be very much for the light side and not for this domination kind of approach. So maybe it's to free people from the false sovereigns in order to, you know, make them sovereign individuals themselves.
That's what I'm saying. We don't really know who these players are.
No. Be interesting to see how it unfolds. I know there are a number of videos on YouTube about it that I haven't had chance to watch yet, so I think I might be digging a little deeper into that. Maybe it'll be a topic for next week's show.
I hope so.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
Mm. Absolutely.
Another thing I saw regarding the royalties was Diana met with Trump and JFK Jr., and they planned her escape that... When she died, they planned it. So she's not really dead. She's like JFK Jr. And that Harry knows that Harry and Diana have met up since Harry left the royalty.
Oh, really? I mean, I'd heard that Diana wasn't dead. I'd seen some photographs that were put out by people who said, oh, this is Diana now. And I have to say, it didn't look like Diana to me at all, even though, you know, so many years later. And I thought, not too sure about that. But again, I have an open mind. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Saw those pictures too, and I thought the same thing you did. Doesn't look like her.
No. And I mean, there was, going back to the, you know, the George Floyd killing, there were anons putting out pictures saying, oh, this guy's CIA, and look at these, and look at these. And I'm looking at some of them, I'm thinking, that doesn't look like anything like this guy. And I think this is where we have to be very careful about really making our own judgments about things. Does that look right? No, it doesn't, actually. So I'm going to move on from this. And, you know,
yeah, they'll send those type of people out to make the conspiracy people talking the truth look crazy. That, you know, they try to distract by that kind of rhetoric. You know, you every time you get one of those ensign things, you know, there's always these people that put out this information regarding, you know, they give you the narrative, and you know, but that's part of the tactic of the dark side. just to get rhyme with it. Let me just say here that just a dot. Thank you so much, because it's Russell J. Gould, who's the guy, Russell J. Gould, talking about quantum chroma. I mean, the whole thing is really an interesting, you know, puzzle. But he's the guy in the America who says that he is the king. And then you've got Joseph Gregory Hallett is the good guy, the one that's supposedly the king. And that's from ID? I don't know what that means. Pound. Oh, LB? Pound. I don't know. But Joseph Gregory Hallett from one of our people on chat I'm just not familiar with. So, you know, if you want to look more at that, it's George Gregory Hallett. Look him up. Apparently he's got stuff out there. Go to his website and listen to his interviews. Please! That's what they said. So.
Don't just take one person's writing about it. Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stories out there, and it really comes down to storytelling. So we're pretty near the end of this show. We've actually got about, 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you want to say goodnight to everybody?
Okay. Thanks for being with us.
You don't have to say goodnight. I mean, you can say, what's your, we have 3 minutes, so you can have a whole minute. Tell me what you want to tell them for the next week that they can think about.
I really appreciated all the comments on my post when I said that Nancy was flooded out and wouldn't be on air. I appreciate all the love that was sent, the comments. Thank you for doing that. And that's all I got.
And thank you all for being so... I haven't even had time to look at it. You know, I was washing floors today. We've stopped long enough to do some very interesting and therapeutic. I'm so glad to be back. You know, it was getting really annoying. And but here we are. We're up and running again. Yes, send love to Atlanta, Lee's Dream says. And I just
to all the cities, all of them, yes, all of them. Yes.
I mean, God bless you all. Be safe. Just put the love out. You know, the good humans are going to win, and our city, the one too busy to hate. That's what she said. Anybody in chat got anything you want me to throw out there? You got 20 seconds delay here. Just type it in if you do. And Jan, you're, I mean, the amount of rain, the sound of rain behind you, I was like, I got concerned. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to float off that mountain you're on?
No. Well, of course, you know, for people who know me, I'm in an RV park, so the floor of my RV is about a couple of feet off the ground. I think it's just a major thunderstorm. I mean, the ground's been, you know, we've had very little rain. It's so dry. I don't think Keisha's going to get a walk anytime soon. I'm hoping I can get out to shut the windows on my car, but it might be a bit late. Hopefully when it heats up again tomorrow, maybe it'll dry it all out. But I just want to say how grateful I am to all the people that follow my show and who put such lovely comments on the YouTube video. You know, it's really gratifying to see how many people are now watching or listening to those videos. And, you know, it gives me great pleasure to share all this information without divisiveness. And, you know, I think this is part of our role at the moment for all of those awakened people, that we need to talk about this stuff. We need to share this stuff and not convince, you know, say, oh, you've got to believe this because I say so, but to encourage exactly what Q does, which is the critical thinking you know. And John Rappaport, who I followed for a while and then I stopped and now I started again. Annie Avedisian is a great fan of his, you know, and he talks about how the education system has absolutely killed critical thinking. It's just learn these facts, learn these so-called facts. But the Q movement has resurrected research, analysis, critical thinking, and that in itself, aside from what we're discovering, is such a valuable contribution. It's just phenomenal. And I'm just so glad to be part of all of this. And I love to be on the show with you, Nancy and Dolly, as well as on my own show. So, oh, and Infinite said, we love you, Jan. That's lovely. Thank you so much. So I really appreciate everybody that watches or listens to my shows and listens to all of the shows on Cosmic Reality, because we're here to just share great information.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate our audience especially. I think we're a special group. Somewhere, somehow, we're all connected, and we'll see you Tuesday's Shungite show. And everybody be safe. Thank you so very much.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.